yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, it is daddy soda time. And those of you that listened to the Ross Tucker football podcast yesterday know that I had too many daddy sodas over the weekend, which in of itself I'd be fine, but it's not a smart move to do when you're already sick. Really just compounds things. But I will persevere, mainly because I'm not the star of this show. Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles is. You should be following him on Twitter, at FDuffy3. He is a stud, and today is the start of our 2017 conference previews. Again, if you're new, here's the goal of the podcast, right? Number one, we educate. We let you know what you should be looking for when you're watching players, whether it's live during a college game, or if you go back and watch tape and you enjoy evaluating players at any level, high school, college, NFL, we show you and tell you some of the traits that you should be looking for. We also inform, and that's primarily what Fran does. We're getting you ready for the college football season as well as for the 2018 NFL draft by making sure you have a great base of knowledge of all of the top prospects in the country. And I even looked at a few guys this week as well. We're presented today by RossTucker.com, pretty much my favorite website of all time, the coolest website of all time, because Christopher and the folks over at Prompt Internet did an unbelievable job. Plus, that's where you can take advantage of any of our sponsors or support the college draft just by making all of your Amazon purchases using our Amazon banner ad over at RossTucker.com. It is Daddy Soda time, Fran and Bri.
Daddy Sodas.
All right, so Fran, we're starting this week with the non-Power 5 conference preview, which basically means any school there is other than the Power 5 conferences. So you've got Notre Dame, Houston, all the way to an Ivy League guy, I noticed. Let's start with the quarterbacks that are from the non-Power 5 conferences. I know a few weeks ago with Greg McElroy, you offered up your initial thoughts on Josh Allen from Wyoming.
Yeah, absolutely. And Josh Allen is a remarkable talent. I mean, he would have been, to me, he would have been the first quarterback off the board had he decided to come out last year. I'm really happy for his long-term future that he did decide to go back to Wyoming because he's in a great situation there. I mean, he's playing in a pro-style offense, the same offense that Carson Wentz came up in early in his career in North Dakota State. That's what Josh Allen is in right now. So you're seeing him line up under center. You're seeing him in the gun. You're seeing him run play-action fakes and turn his back to the defense and reassess at the top of his drop. You see his ability to operate in a muddy pocket. He can make plays inside and outside of structure. His arm talent is through the roof. He flashes great accuracy. I mean, this kid can be the total package. Now, the downside with a Josh Allen is that he needs a little bit of tweaking with his lower body mechanics, nothing drastic, but most importantly, he makes bad decisions with the football right now. And there are too many cases where he's making late throws on an outbreaking route or he's forcing throws on the run. You know, you want to try and take some of those away, those late throws in the middle of the field. He's got to greatly, greatly, greatly decrease the amount of those throws that he made in 2016. But when you watch this kid, physically, he's got every trait that you want to be a high-end starting quarterback. There will be times where he will rush himself in the pocket. Normal things that you see, especially from young college quarterbacks. Because remember, he was just a redshirt sophomore last year. He still can decide to go back for another year, even after this year. But Josh Allen is really, really talented. He is the real deal in terms of his ceiling, in terms of transitioning to the NFL. So Josh Allen, like we talked about with Greg McElroy a few weeks back, He's outstanding. I'm really, really excited about his future. I think if we're going to talk about our daddy soda rankings, and again, five daddy sodas is like an early starter, potential Pro Bowl talent. Four could be an early starter, very productive, turn into a quality NFL player. I think Josh Allen is probably right in that range, about four or five daddy sodas in terms of his NFL projection right now.
Wow. What about any other quarterbacks? I know I've heard of the Linehan kid from Idaho, obviously Scott Linehan's son. Kyle Allen was the number one ranked high school quarterback in the country a few years ago when I had him in the U.S. Army Bowl. What do you think of those guys? Anybody else that jumps out at you?
Yeah, I want to do a lot more work on all these guys, but when you look at a Matt Linehan, obviously he's got the lineage there. His father, Scott, has been coaching the league for a long time. You mentioned Kyle Allen. He's going to be starting this year for Houston. Obviously signed up there thinking that he was going to go under Tom Herman and the rest of that staff, but they since moved on to Texas. But Allen is a very talented player. I'm excited to see him kind of take the reins there for Houston. There's Mike White down in Western Kentucky, who I have not done enough work on, but I've heard good things. He was second-team All-Conference USA last year, a really interesting player. Logan Woodside from Toledo, I've heard good things about. And then I think a lot of people now at this point, if you follow college football, you're a little bit familiar with Quinton Flowers from South Florida. He was the Offensive Player of the Year last year in the AAC, extremely athletic, a dynamic player at the quarterback position. I'm excited to dig more into his game as well and see if he can be a quarterback at the next level or if he's one of those players that may be looking at more of a position change. Have not done enough work to say to go either way on that argument yet at this point.
Let's go to the running back position. Is there a guy that really stands out to you, Fran?
Yeah, you know, I was really kind of just trying to decide who I was going to focus on for the purpose of this podcast. And I ended up going with a guy who's been on my watch list for a long time and I hadn't been able to get to. He was a third-team All-American two seasons ago, back in 2015. Larry Rose from New Mexico State. And you know, small kid. You see what he's listed at. He's listed 5'11", 184. He's probably not 5'11", so you're talking about a guy who's probably in that 5'9 and a half, 180-plus pound range. So he's not going to be, more often than not, he's not going to be a primary back at the NFL level. But I'll tell you what, man, this kid is fun to watch. He's got plus vision for an NFL back. He's got a really good feel for both zone schemes and gap schemes. He's really explosive. He's got a suddenness to him that you don't typically see from most college backs. He's not a dancer in the backfield. And when he sees that hole, he hits it and he hits it fast. He didn't fumble in any of the six games that I studied. He can stop and start with ease. And his ability to get into a second or third gear in a flash is really impressive. He's slippery. He can make people miss at a really high level. I really like his wiggle. He's got better contact balance than I thought for a guy at that size. And he's a really good receiver out of the backfield. He's got really good vision in the open field as well, not just early in the down, but out in space. He's got that ability to find cutback lanes. I think he's got the ability to develop into a really nice second or third back and a weapon in your passing game. He might not be your number two back, quote unquote, but I think of a guy like Chris Thompson down in Washington and a player that I really liked coming out of Florida State a few years back. Chris Thompson, when you watch the Redskins, yeah, he might only get, you know, 8, 9, 10 touches a game, but he's a player you have to game plan for on a weekly basis. And if one of their other backs are down, you're going to have to really make sure that you account for Chris Thompson. I think that Larry Rose could be a similar type player. I think that if we're going to go off our Daddy Soda range, I think he's probably in that 2.5 to 3 Daddy Soda range and that he's not going to be a starter. But I do think that he can be an elite backup, low-end spot guy, and a role player on the offensive side of the football.
Any other running backs jump out to you? I know the last couple of years, Josh Adams from Notre Dame has had some good moments. He's a Bucks County kid from outside of Philadelphia. What do you think of Adams or anybody else?
Yeah, he actually he grew up probably like 15 minutes away from where I currently live. And Adams, he actually flashed to me a couple years ago watching Notre Dame and watching their offense. He's a guy, he's got ability in the passing game, and he's a big kid, he's explosive. I'm excited to dig more into him. Ashton Johnson from Louisiana Lafayette, he is another guy who, when I was watching other players, he stood out to me, so I'm excited to dig more into him. D'Angelo Brewer from Tulsa was a second-team All-AAC player last year. Ito Smith from Southern Miss, same thing, was second-team All-Conference. And then Warren Ball is another guy who I've heard really good things about. He started his career at Ohio State. He's now in the MAC at Akron, a big kid who's got the ability to mash it up between the tackles. I'm excited to dig more into Warren Ball and what his future could be in the NFL.
Let's get to the wide receiver position. Is there one non-Power 5 guy that really stands out to you? I know, just looking at your list here, there's a couple names that I've heard of. Sutton from SMU. Alan Lazard, I remember he was in the U.S. Army Bowl out of Iowa State. They don't usually get many guys in the U.S. Army Bowl. And then St. Brown from Notre Dame with the unbelievable first name.
Unbelievable first name. But we'll start with Sutton because he's a guy that some people are touting as a potential top 20 pick. I don't know that I'm quite there, but I do like Courtland Sutton. You're talking about a guy who's 6'4", 215. So he's built in a lot of similar way to like a Corey Davis that we saw last year. You know, he's long. He's a little bit lanky. He's got pretty good size to him. So I do like Courtland Sutton from that end of it. What I really like, he's got good hands. He's got really good ball skills. He's really good at the catch point. So in terms of a guy being a contested catch weapon, I think he can be that guy. He only had two uncontested drops last season. They were both focused drops where he tried to get upfield before the catch. So he's got the ability to be very reliable at the catch point. He's got a basketball background, and that shows up time in, time out whenever I watched him. I watched 6, 7, 8 games on Courtland Sutton. He looks effortless when he's going up to attack the football in the air. And I think he's got some abilities as a route runner. I think he's a pretty good route runner, and I think people undersell him a little bit in that range. What I really want to see from him is I want to see him get a little bit better getting off press coverage. I'd like to see him get a little bit more consistent as a route runner, and I'd like to see him, I know it's a little thing, and I know we kind of poo-poo this, but I need to see him get better as a blocker because I wondered about his competitiveness. I want to see that same competitiveness that I see at the catch point. I want to see that translate over as a blocker. I think he's a little bit of a finesse player right now at the receiver position. But overall, I think Courtland Sutton can be a starting NFL receiver. If I had to give him a Daddy Soda rating, I would say he's right square in the 3 Daddy Soda rating off our scale. So I really like what I saw from Courtland Sutton. Let's get to Equanimeous St. Brown from Notre Dame. He's a 1-year starter. Last year was his first year starting for the Irish. And what I really liked about him was he's got NFL size. I mean, he's 6'5", 204. Is he going to be an X? Is he going to be a big slot receiver in the mold of like a Marcus Colston type? Maybe. He's got great potential as a jump ball player. He's just not polished right now in any sense of the word. You know, he's not a really technically sound route runner. He's not great at the line of scrimmage. He's not an explosive athlete, and that's another thing that will kind of factor in whether or not he can play on the outside. Is he quick enough to separate on the outside, or does he need to be more of a matchup guy inside? That's really the big question for me when I watch Equanimeous St. Brown. He's not going to get a whole lot faster than what he is. He's not going to get a whole lot more sudden or quick at the top of his route, but can he become a better technician than what he is right now? To me, that will determine whether or not he can be an outside player. I think right now you're probably looking at him in the 2 or 3 Daddy Soda range. And then lastly, you mentioned Alan Lazard. You mentioned, yeah, a lot of guys from those big bowls, the 5-star recruits, 4-star recruits, they typically don't end up at Iowa State. But he was kind of a legacy there. His father was a captain there. His brother played there. So they had a little bit of a jump on him. Alan Lazard, 6'5", 223. He's got outstanding size. Guess what? He's also the punt returner there for the Cyclones. So he's got some athleticism to him. He's really good after the catch. I really like his ability to show his body control up at the catch point. He's got good size. He just needs to get better as a route runner. He's not an explosive athlete. He's more quick and shifty than he is explosive in a straight line. And he just had too many drops for me. So I want to see him kind of fix those. I do think, though, that he could be a really nice role player inside for an NFL offense. So I do like what Alan Lazard can bring to the table as well.
Any other names to know, Fran?
Yeah, Caleb Woods was a guy that I was really excited to dig deep on. He's 6'3". He's a track guy. He actually it sounds like he got into some issues off the field, and may not play a down for the Owls this fall down in FAU. But forget about those Owls. How about my Temple Owls? They've got a kid in Ventel Bryant who burst onto the scene 2 years ago as a true freshman, and I've been keeping a very close eye on. I know he got named to a bunch of watch lists this year. This is the first year he's draft eligible. I've watched him from afar. I'm excited to really dig deep and watch a little bit more. But Ventel Bryant from Temple, a big kid who can line up in a number of different spots, exciting to watch as well.
At the tight end position, I know we've talked before about Adam Brenneman and Dallas. Is it Goddard from South Dakota State?
It is. It's Dallas Goddard.
Yeah, I know we've talked about those guys. Are there any other guys that jumped out to you? I know you have Alize Jones here. I remember a couple years ago in the Blue Gold game before he got hurt, he was a weapon and a guy that the Notre Dame really was going to feature. What happened to him this past year?
He was out of the, I want to say it was academic ineligibility. Don't quote me on that because I'm not 100% sure, but he did miss the season last year, if I'm not mistaken. So he was a guy, I talked with Pete Sampson, who is as good as it gets when you cover Notre Dame. He gave me a heads up on him when he was coming out of high school, like, hey, you got to make sure you watch this guy. He's from Vegas, from that same high school, I believe, Bishop Gorman, that Ronnie Stanley and those guys came out of. And I remember you said the same thing. You said after last spring game, like, this kid looks legit. He just didn't make it to the field last year. So 6'4", 240, he's got that frame. They've got another senior there in Durham Smythe that you can watch as well. But Alize Jones, I think, has the highest upside of the players at that position for the Irish.
Let's get to the O-line. Speaking of the Irish, Fran, and you gave me some names to watch, and I watched them. You've got Quentin Nelson, who I believe will be a true senior at Notre Dame. Mike McGlinchey, who's a redshirt senior. He's a year ahead of Nelson. And Chukwuma Okorafor, is that right, from Western Michigan?
You nailed it. Nice job.
So I already knew about Nelson and McGlinchey from doing the Notre Dame spring game a year ago. And they're both really impressive. Nelson is just a rare, rare human being. He's like a planet guy, as Bill Parcells would say.
Yep.
He's all love, 335 pounds. He's built like a refrigerator, but he moves extremely well. He's a people mover, and he gets after people. I really enjoy watching him play. I think he could probably stand to maybe lose a little bit of weight. There are times in his pass protection that he gets a little top heavy for me, and I'm just not sure he needs to be, you know, that big, that heavy. My question about McGlinchey, do you know what his arm length is, Fran?
I don't now. I might be able to get that number later, but I don't have it right now. So I'm waiting
tall,
on that as well.
Because he's tall, he's athletic, he's a pretty good technician. He moved from right to left last year. I'm just curious as to how long he is, because I saw a couple moves like a USC guy made on him. I watched the USC game against Notre Dame. And then for Western Michigan, I watched the Wisconsin game. And Okorafor, he actually reminds me a decent amount of the Moton kid from last year, just a little bit thicker, a little bit bigger. But again, I don't know if he's more of a guard or more of a right tackle. I'm just not sure he's as smooth as what I would want in a left tackle prospect.
Yeah, I agree. Before I get to the Notre Dame kids, I'll just follow up on Okorafor. I watched him for the first time last week. I liked Moton a whole lot more than I liked Okorafor. I think that there are some traits there. I think he does have some natural strength. You're talking about a kid who's 330 pounds. So, you know, he's going to have some power behind that punch. I wasn't sure that I saw an NFL starter, regardless of whether it was right tackle, left tackle. Like, I thought that sometimes he really struggled to protect the edge. I don't know if he's got the foot quickness to be a starting tackle on either side in the NFL. And I just don't know. At 6'5", 330, like, I guess, could he be a guard? Like, do you see, like, the technical aspect of the position that you'd want from Okorafor? Like, do you see the nastiness inside that would help him inside? Like, I just wasn't sure where I'd put him. Like, I have him right now as kind of more of a swing backup on the outside.
Yeah, I think they'd probably try him at guard just because he is so big, and he does have some physicality to him. But, yeah, I'm with you. I was hoping for more.
Yeah. And then Quentin Nelson, dude, I mean, I know he's not going to get drafted this high, but I think he was one of the five best players I've studied so far. I've watched, like, you know, like 70 guys or so. He is so much fun to watch. He absolutely just tries to destroy people whenever he can. He's outstanding working on double teams on their zone run game. I think he's a guy that's always looking for work, whether it's in pass pro or in the run game. He's smart. He's strong. I think his feet are just good enough to be a quality pass protector in the NFL level as a guard. I think when you look at Quentin Nelson, I think he's the total package as in terms of what you want in today's starting guard. He's not an elite athlete. Like you mentioned, there were times where I thought he'd get a little bit off balance, a little bit overextended, a little bit sloppy in pass pro. But overall, I mean, you're talking about a guy who gave up one sack last year. He didn't give up a sack last year. He only had one holding penalty. A guy that, you know, to me, like, technically sound, he's big, he's strong, he's tough, he's smart. I really like Quentin Nelson. And then when I look at Mike McGlinchey, this is the second year now that I've studied him. I'm impressed with him as well, and I think that he can be a starter. A lot of penalties were for Mike McGlinchey, though, and that was one of the things that kind of worried me. He had 8 false starts last year. He gave up 2 sacks, another holding penalty to throw in there. But a guy who's played both tackle spots, right side and left side, he sees things quickly. He's not fooled by stunts or blitzes up front. He's got some bend to him. I do like Mike McGlinchey. I actually wrote the same thing, though, about his length. I do wonder what that number will be when we get that back.
Any other guys at that position? I see you have Larry Allen Jr., who I've watched him play quite a bit over the last couple of years. He's a really nice player, but I think he only weighs like 275, 280. So I guess I just wonder, maybe he's bulked up for this year, but I wonder if he just has the size. He's, you know, and that's what he was when he got there. It's like he hasn't gotten bigger since he's been at Harvard. He's just kind of stayed lean, which he's been able to get away with in the Ivy League. But, you know, there aren't a lot of 280-pound guys getting drafted.
No, very, very little. And when I look at the history of offensive linemen, you know, the lightest tackle or guard drafted in the last 10 years was 290. The lightest guard center, like interior guy, was 280. So, and that was one player. So he'd be definitely an outlier if he were to get drafted at that weight. And we'll see. I mean, if he comes out this year and he adds weight before the combine, we'll see what he comes in at. But obviously he's got the bloodlines there. You got Chandler Miller from Tulsa, who was a first team all conference player, and Dejon Allen from Hawaii was a second team all conference player. I'm still looking for some names from these non-power five schools along the offensive line to really build up on. It does look like a better class than what we saw last year, but I'm still not overly wowed, especially from the tackle group for this class so far.
Let's get to the D-line edge players. Who stood out to you there?
One guy that I've studied so far has really kind of stood out to me. Everyone knows about Ed Oliver, first of all, who is the guy that was like a 5-star recruit that went to Houston last year. He was an All-American as a true freshman, absolute freak show, showed up at week one and dominated Oklahoma in his first college game. He's an absolute freak. We're going to be talking about him for a long time. He's just a true sophomore, so he's not draft eligible. So I haven't done as much work on him as other guys. But Xavier Thigpen from Southern Miss was a player that I did do some work on last week in preparation for this podcast. And 6'5", 240 pounds. He was a high school basketball player, and he looks like a high school basketball player playing defensive end. He lines up all over the place for them, mainly as a 3-4 DN, which I thought was intriguing. But when you watch him, they move him around all over the place. And he is athletic. He's got really good closing speed from the backside. He's got the ability to bend and turn the corner and kind of run the arc while accelerating. He's got the ability to close. But really, when I watch Xavier Thigpen, I need to see a guy that needs to get a lot stronger. I see a guy that needs a lot of work with his hands. He needs to develop his pass rush plan. He's not a coverage player right now. He's not a great run defender right now. So you're kind of looking at a one-trick pony. But even that one trick, he still needs a lot of technical proficiency. He's just not where he needs to be right now with his hands. But overall, I think he's a nice developmental player, a guy that you can try and bring in and develop. I'm excited to see him this year and see what he looks like with another year of college production. But a guy that I'm looking at more as a down-the-road prospect than a guy that I'm going to plug and play in the NFL right now.
Any other D linemen that stood out to you, Fran, that we need to know about?
Yeah, there's the kid, Javon Rollin-Jones from Arkansas State. I've heard some good things about Cortez Broughton and Lyndon Johnson from Cincinnati. I'm playing in the AAC against Temple. I've heard good things about both players, so I'm excited to dig deeper into those two. And then Jerry Tillery from Notre Dame is a player that I heard about when he was a true freshman. And he's another guy who's just an absolute freak show. He's like one of those 300-pounders that can do backflips, you know, just like without question. One of the more impressive athletes on that Notre Dame front seven. So excited to dig deep more into his game as well.
Let's get to the linebacker level. Who's the guy that stood out to you there?
One of the themes last year when we did this, Ross, was that I had a lot of trouble finding linebackers to talk about each week, and it wasn't a great linebacker class, so that kind of carried through. Jordan Williams was the only player that I studied from this group because everyone else, there was kind of a flaw to their game that I didn't really do a deep dive on. But Jordan Williams, 6'2", 234. His reported test scores are very, very impressive. He lined up all over the place. He was stacked. He lined up over the tight end. He'd walk out over the slot. He lined up off the edge as a pass rusher. He's a little bit small, but he's got a really high motor. I think he's a really good tackler. My big thing is, he's an undersized guy with athletic limitations. I didn't see that same athleticism on tape from what you see from the reported test scores. I don't think that he's all that aware. I don't think that he's got great ability to read and diagnose plays early in the down. And he's not a great coverage player right now. So for what you would want him to be at his size, I don't think that he's quite there yet in terms of his mind. So I'd like to see him get a little bit more instinctive this year and show those play recognition skills both against the run and the pass before I buy into him as more than like a special teams guy and back end of the roster type of player. Other guys at the linebacker spot, Shaquem Griffin is a guy that I'm really excited to study. His brother, Shaquille Griffin, was drafted, I think, in the third round by the Seattle Seahawks this year, his twin brother from Central Florida. Well, Shaquem was the defensive player of the year in the AAC this year. He was first-team all-conference at linebacker, his first year as a starter there, and he was doing it with one hand. He had an issue when he was a baby, and he had to get one of his hands amputated. So a great story, and I'm excited to watch more of Shaquem Griffin. And then Jannard Avery from Memphis was also with Griffin, a first-team all-conference player down there in the AAC.
Wow, he's got one hand?
Yeah, we talked about Fumagalli last week. He only had four fingers on it. I think it's his left hand. Shaquem Griffin's doing it. He's got one hand. It's an outstanding story. I think College Game Day did a feature on it last year, midseason. It's an outstanding story.
Wow, man. That's awesome. Let's get to the DBs, Fran. Who jumps out at you?
So there were a few guys that I could have gone with here. There's the Sean Lurie kid who's been on my radar from Northern Illinois in the MAC for a couple of years now. He was an All-American back in 2015. He's a little bit undersized. His production is through the roof, especially as a tackler. Chris Cisse was a guy that stood out to me back when Oregon was going to Big End bowl games as a corner. He has since transferred to Portland State, so I've been keeping a close eye on him. He's a senior this year. The Deion Harris kid from North Dakota is getting a little buzz. I know Lance Zierlein from NFL.com wrote about him a couple weeks ago. But I watched Sean Chandler from Temple because I was excited to watch him. I've heard a lot of good things about him. He's played corner. He recently made the transition to safety last year, but he's been starting since his true freshman year. 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's a better run defender, a better tackler than I would have thought coming over from the corner spot. And I think that's kind of the hallmark of his game is his toughness, his competitiveness, his ability to come down and be a part of the run fit. He's a little bit undersized. He's not the kind of athlete that you want at the safety spot. Again, kind of bucking the trend of what I thought going from a former corner, but a guy that I think can come downhill, be a role player and a back end special teams guy. I think Sean Chandler is a guy that kind of impressed me when I did a deep dive.
Who else at the defensive back position jumped out at you?
Yeah, outside of the guys that I've brought up, I would throw in there Parry Nickerson from Tulane. He's 6 foot, 175 pounds. So he's really light. He's rail thin, but he was a second-team all-conference player last year. He had some good production down there for the Green Wave. So I'm excited to dig more into Parry Nickerson as well.
I love it. What a great start for our conference previews. Very, very cool. What do we got next week? The ACC?
Yeah, we're going to go big time. We're going to go ACC next week. A ton of talent, man. I'm struggling to make sure that I get all these guys in that I want to get in before next week because it's just an endless list. It's another competitive year for that conference. They've got a lot of talent.
They always do. It's surprising that the conference seemingly doesn't have – I mean, I know Clemson won the national championship, but it just doesn't seem like they have as much depth of performance other than Clemson and Florida State, yet there's always a lot of talent coming out of the ACC. Should be fun. It always is. Make sure you catch Fran not only on Twitter at FDuffy3, but on his Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast every week talking about the game of football from the All-22. You can catch me on Twitter at RossTuckerNFL, on Facebook, facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Of course, the Twitter handle for all of the RT Media shows is at RTF Podcast. Big week for the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, Even Money, and more. Other than that, I think we're done here. The keg is kicked. We are all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft. Chugga, 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 chugga. Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.